Hey, we are wrapping up our series called Made to Win, and it's not just a catchy title. It is actually a vision for your family and a vision for our church. And I just want to say we dream of the 38,000 families that call Horizon West and Winter Garden home living the winning life with Jesus. And what that means is moms and dads trusting Jesus, kids growing up with real faith, marriages that thrive, aunts, uncles, siblings, grandparents, all living their life actively following Jesus. And so that's our mission, is to help every family win with Jesus. And it starts with you, those of you in this room. And I got to talk about winning for a second. It's not about outdoing your neighbors or having the perfect family photo. It's bigger than that. It's you can succeed in sports. You can succeed in business, you can succeed in academics, but if you miss Jesus, you miss what truly matters. You miss what matters, what will matter for eternity, and you miss what makes a winning family. It's Jesus. That's what we're getting at with this John 10:10 verse that we've been saying. We want you to live the John 10:10 life. We want you to live life abundantly. It's where Jesus shows up, and he just says, Look, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. And I will say this, only Jesus, his presence, his power, his perspective can turn your chaos into your calling, can turn meaninglessness into significance, can turn discouragement into hopefulness. We're seeing it happen. We're seeing families find hope. We're seeing marriages restored. Kids are discovering their identity in Christ. Teenagers are surrendering their hearts to Christ. And that's what happens when Jesus is the center of a home. So today, as we close Made to Win, this series, we're going to talk about one last key to winning as a family and for you winning, and that is joy. It's joy in Jesus' name. Last week, we talked about hope. If you missed last week, go check it out. And hope is simple. It's a confident expectation of future good because God is faithful. And so hope is a future thing. It's like you hope for a better day tomorrow. You hope for good things because God is faithful. Joy, which we want to talk about today, is about now. Joy is available 24/7, this very moment, and it's not a shallow, it's not a fleeting joy that we want to talk about today. It's the deep kind of joy that anchors you in the storms. It fuels you when you're empty. It weaves through every story that God writes for us, and joy is one of our values as a church. Like I've said it for decades, like if the Bible is true, and I believe with my whole heart that it is, if the Bible is true, church should be the best hour of your week, because we're talking about things that are true and that are eternal. And so this is the deal. If joy was missing in your home last week, today we're going to find it together in God's word. So let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for breath in our lungs. Thank you for the ability to be in relationship with you. And so, Lord, right now, I ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to who you are, to your truth, and to connecting with you. Lord, I pray that as we sit in this room, that no one in this room would hear my words, but they would hear your voice speaking your truth to your people. So God, we invite you here. Lord, for those that don't know you, that are sitting in this room, that are coming to check out who you are, Lord, I pray that you would just make it evident who you are this morning. Pray that you would just reveal yourself to them and that we may be a part of that story, of the story that you want to tell through their life. In your holy name, amen. All right, so we're going to start out with a laugh experiment. Scientists say that laughter is unbelievably good for you. It improves your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Automatically, it just does that. It reduces stress and anxiety. It improves your mood. It eases pain legitimately. Like you want less pain, laugh more. It relaxes your body. It is so good for you. And what's interesting about laughter is your brain cannot decipher between real laughter and fake laughter. Your brain doesn't know whether you're laughing for real or you're laughing fake. Your brain cannot decipher between the two, so it releases the same chemicals, whether you're faking it or it's real. And so this is what we're going to do starting this morning. We are going to just basically make your day a little better. Okay, everybody stand up. This is full participation. Everybody up on your feet. And you might just be sitting here going, I hate this stuff. I'm not participating. Especially you guys are like, this is dumb. I already don't like it. I don't like this place. I don't like that guy up there on the stage. I don't like anything. That might be you. We're going to fix that for you today. All right? So this is what I want you to do, because our brains can't decipher between real and fake laughter. We're just going to start inciting a little bit of laughter. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take your hands, put them together in front of you like this. Everybody do that. I need to see everybody doing it. Craig, why don't you do this at the soundboard too? Let's go ahead and do that. I can't see you, but we're going to have you do this too. But here's the deal. I want you to take your hands like this, and I want you to shake them back and forth and make a sound like this. Everybody. All right, now I want you to look at somebody next to you and do the same thing. All right, now I want you to do this with me. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. 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 All right, one last one. Deep belly laugh from everybody. Ready? Ha, 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 ha. Ho, 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 All right, go ahead and have your seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Now, that is so weird, isn't it? But yet, don't you feel better? You just feel better because you got morons that you're sitting around, and you just got to watch them do that. But here's the thing with laughter. Laughter is fun. It raises our spirits. It kind of makes our day a little lighter. It's so physically good for us, and it is absolutely contagious. It is hard to be around someone else that is laughing and having a good time and not have that kind of work its way into you a little bit. Something that breaks my heart when I think about it, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been talking about this for a long time. Scientists study humans, kind of our behavior and whatnot, and there's a large body of study about laughter. And this is what scientists have found. Children, kids, laugh or smile on average 300 times a day. Just what kids do. 300 times a day, they're laughing or smiling. As we become adults, life kind of kicks us in the teeth a little bit. The weight of life kind of heavies and weighs us down, kind of wraps its hands around our shoulders and just seems to press. Adults, this is a tragedy, by the way. Adults laugh or smile, on average, 15 to 20 times a day. And you might be thinking, well, that's high. Like 15 to 20 times a day. There's a huge gap there. Well, here is the truth we're going to get at today. A winning family is a joyful family. A winning family is a joyful family. My prayer for every one of you here at Crossline, every person, families, moms, dads, singles, teens, aunts, uncles, siblings, is that you would radiate undeniable joy because of the work of Jesus in your life. It's just my hope for us as a community. When you have a community that's joyful, that joy is contagious. It's like laughter. Like when you're around joyful people, their light kind of draws you in, right? It's like you want to know their secret. You're like, what is going on? Why do you have joy? Why are you happy in this moment? It doesn't seem like a very happy moment. You want to soak up their energy. It is great to be around joy-filled people. They kind of lift you up. The opposite is also true, right? Miserable people? Any miserable people? Don't answer that. I'm just joking. Miserable people are tough to be around. They're tough to be around. Negative people who always find problems, always give you reasons why things won't work, or they dwell on the bad, they drag you down. And we have a saying for that: misery loves company. We know this. That's just the way it works. Misery is contagious too. And I've taught for decades, student ministries, adults, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. For some of you, you need to look at your life and go, do you want more joy? You need to look a little bit at who you're hanging out with. Are you hanging out with joy-filled people? Friends with the kind of joy that we're talking about today? The kind of community we want to build here, joyful, hope-filled, alive in Jesus. And here's where it gets tricky. Most of us, we don't really understand joy. Like, we talk about it, we want it, but we really don't understand it. And I just want to say, joy is not happiness. There's a very distinct difference between the two, yet we confuse the two all the time. We confuse happiness with joy. So let's work on differentiating the two. Happiness depends on happenings. Okay, it's just a little phrase for you. Happiness depends on happenings. Happiness is circumstantial. It's externally motivated. When the right things happen, when the promotion comes through, when the kids ace the test, when the dog doesn't eat his poop and come in the house and throw up, our dog, by the way, when the dog doesn't do that, when things are going good, you're happy. But there's a problem, a couple problems with happiness. One, you can't stay there. Eventually, you leave Disney World, right? Eventually, you leave. For some of you, like, when you walk into Disney, you're leaving happiness. but it's like, eventually, you leave Disney, right? Like, it's over. Eventually, the bills pile up again. Even though you caught up, the bills pile up again. Eventually, your teenager rolls their eyes and slams the door again, right? Like, you had a little break in there for about 30 seconds, and then it's over, right? Happiness is just fleeting. The second problem with happiness, if happiness is the goal of your life, you will do anything to get it. You will compromise your values. You will blow up your marriage. You will even go into debt, only to find out that it won't last. Even if you give everything up to have it, it won't last. Because happiness depends on happenings. Happiness depends on things happening in your life that are good or that you like or that you want to see happen. But joy, it's a very big difference. Joy is inside out. It has a different source. And it bubbles up from within, and the kind of joy that you're longing for is found in the person of Jesus. Joy is found in the person of Jesus. Here's the good news. And I mean good news, the kind that flips the script. Joy isn't something that we have to manufacture. It's something that we can receive straight from being connected to God through a relationship with Jesus. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is a fullness of joy in the presence of God. Jesus echoes what the Psalms writer was writing. John 15:9-11, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be, what is that word? Complete. Now let's talk about this. How can this be true? Well, Jesus loves you. Your worth was settled at the cross. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? You want to know what you're worth? Good. Go back 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave up his life for you. Even if you're not there, you haven't stepped across the line of faith yet, you need to know that before you even thought about God, before you even thought about Jesus, before you ever walked in these doors pursuing maybe an answer to some of the questions you have in life, Jesus already died for you 2,000 years ago. So that if you believe in him, you can have everlasting life. You can have power in your life now, and when this life is over, you can step into eternity with Jesus. That is the good news of the gospel, as my kids say, facts, okay? That's what it is. Well, here's one of the secrets of following Jesus. This is kind of one of the fastballs that Christians have. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, living a godly life, obeying Jesus, infuses you with his joy. Infuses you with his joy, and when that happens, your joy is complete. You can have complete joy. Be honest with yourself. Do any of you have complete joy right in this moment? Are you living that out? Or are you settling for just happiness, these momentary happenings in your life that kind of make you feel like things are going okay, and you're just chasing that all the time? But complete joy. Any of you have complete joy that's coming from within right this moment? Let me break this down to its simplest form. If you want a life filled with complete joy, live a godly life. That's what Jesus is saying. Do what's right because it's right. Do what's right because you love Jesus. And then he's saying, and if you do that, my joy will be infused into you. And when that happens, your joy will be absolutely complete. You can have no more joy than when Jesus' joy is in you. And I'll just tell you, complete joy is not about ignoring life's mess, and it's about embracing God's goodness in it. Doesn't mean everything's going to go right in your life just because your joy is complete. Complete joy doesn't mean no pain. It means trusting God's story in the chaos. Let me just make this personal with a story that some of you know. This story has shaped me more than I can say. I think this story has shaped me more than I'll ever know this side of heaven. But at 24 years old, young guy, full of dreams, first year being a pastor, newly married, ready to conquer the world for Jesus, One night, I'm helping a lady change her tire, standing behind her minivan. A car slams into me, into the back of the minivan, with me standing behind it going 50 miles an hour. The young girl never hit her brakes. Lights go out for me. 10 days later, I wake up on Christmas Day, 1997, and I am missing my left leg below the knee. It is like lights went out. The next time they were turned on, my whole life was never going to be the same in that moment when I woke up. The pain was brutal. The questions were like brutaler, because that's a word. The why me? The why now? The I'm doing what you wanted me to with my life, not what I want to do. I'm doing what you wanted me to do. I want to do something different. But I said, no, you know, I'm going to do this God's way. I was being as obedient as I knew how, And I wake up, and this is what's been given to me. It's been a month in the hospital. 4 months living out of a wheelchair before I was able to get a prosthetic. A year of relearning how to walk, literally learning how to walk while my world felt like it had fallen apart. And joy, a joy-filled life felt unattainable. Have you ever been there? You're just like that. I don't know if I can have joy after this. Because nothing seemed like it was going right. And maybe you're there. And it's a different story, right? Your story's different. But you just might be sitting at the bottom of the pile, the bottom of the valley, and just going, I don't know if joy is attainable. Well, I'll tell you what I did. When I got to that place, I did the only thing I knew to do. I took my joyless self to Jesus and just gave him what I had. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why this would happen to me. But you're the only place I have to turn to. Because this doesn't make sense. And I can't make sense of it. And everything I try to make sense of it or make it better or feel better about it just fails. And all I can say is when I did that, when I just started turning my heart towards Jesus, I mean joy depleted, zero joy in my heart. As I turned to Jesus, all I can say is Jesus met me there in the bottom of the valley. And he didn't meet me with easy answers because there weren't any. He didn't meet me with a quick fix. This is permanent. He met me with his presence. And Melissa and I, in that first year, we were 7 months married when this happened. Melissa and I, our marriage was forged in that first year as we spent time together worshiping God in the worst moments of our life. As we spent time just deep in prayer, bringing our feelings to God. God, this sucks. Why would you let this happen? This doesn't seem like it's right. We brought that to Jesus. He's not afraid of that. You know that. And we began to slowly trust that God had a bigger story that he wanted to tell through our life. Just began to believe that. And slowly, like joy kind of started seeping in a little bit, just through the cracks. Because there wasn't a lot of room for joy, but it just kind of started working its way in. Not because the pain vanished, but because we started seeing God's hand in the details. Lady I was helping happened to be a nurse. When she got to me, I wasn't breathing laying on the road. She knew how to get me breathing again. Could have ended right there. But it just so happened I was helping a nurse get to the hospital. Got two doctors working on the veins in my legs. 20 hours of surgery. Both Christian guys. While one was working on me, it was such tedious work, they would have to spell each other off every 30 minutes to an hour. While one was working on me, the other one was in the room praying for me. Operating room full of Christians, worship music playing the whole time, all 20 hours, just worship music in that room, just inviting God's spirit into this moment that's happening, this tragedy that I didn't even know I was living through and almost didn't live through. In the waiting room, full of people. I went and visited a year later, and the nurses were like, hey, this is the guy with all the people in the waiting room. Because there was 50, 60, 70 people that were just there with my wife praying, asking God for a miracle on my behalf. friends that drove me to rehab appointments for a year, helping Melissa, taking me in a wheelchair, helping me get into the car, putting my wheelchair in the trunk, and then taking me to rehab, waiting while I'm in rehab, and then bringing me back home. And I'll just tell you, Melissa, my wife, never wavered in trusting God with our future. And when I was down, she was connected. She'd pull me up. And somehow when she was down, I'd pull her up. We just made this journey back from the brink, and a prosthetic life kind of became normal. Our marriage grew unbreakable, kind of unbreakable through it all. The kids that God has blessed Melissa and I with, as I look back, the calling that he has had on my life since a young age, I still have pain. I cannot do the things that many of you do physically. I just can't do them. Yet at 51 years old, living a pain-filled life since 24 years old, I will just tell you, I've got more joy in my life than I've ever had before. It's incredible. How can this be? How can this be? It's not because my happenings are good, but God is. I learned a long time that happenings being good is nice. It's not where joy comes from. Joy comes from someplace else. And full joy is available to everybody, not the perfect people, it's the pursuing people. You want joy, you got to pursue it. What Melissa and I have learned through thick and thin, through times when we were winning, times when we were experiencing deep loss, is our big truth for the day. Joy is a mindset, not a mood. Joy is just a mindset. It's a mindset, not a mood. I don't think there's a better verse for this than for a joy mindset than James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. If it stopped there, it'd be like, you're nuts. But there's a purpose in it, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. What's interesting about this passage is he's saying, hey, when you face trials in the future, when you see trials coming in the front windshield, have joy. Because God is about to use whatever these circumstances are to build something in you that wouldn't be in you if you weren't to go through the circumstance. There are a lot of Christians, they say, you know what, I want integrity. I want character. A lot of Christians that say, well, I want more faith, or I want humility. Well, let me just tell you, the only way those things are built is getting into the weight room of life and sweating it out. Everybody wants to be strong. Nobody wants to be sore. But if you ever want to get strong, if you've ever worked out, soreness is a part of the deal. That's how you grow muscle. Like, you had to work through some terrible times when your wife gets diagnosed with cancer. And you're able to look back on that and go, well, you know what? You wouldn't be the husband that you are today without that. Because God was forging in the fire some things by going through that tough time. Today you can look back. And you can go, thank you, God, for using that in my life. That's what the mature Christian, I know some of you are here, you're like, hey, man, I'm mature, man, just give me meat, and like, take me deep. I need to know, no. Let me just say, a mature Christian, when a mature Christian is hit head on with tough times, tough circumstances, they're like, all right, God, I believe in you to the point where I know you're sovereign over all things, and I'm believing you're going to use this for good and for your glory. And if it ain't good yet, then God's not done yet. Because God works out all things for the good of those who believe in him. And I will just tell you this. I have never met a truly joyful person who hasn't been through some crazy stuff. I just haven't met a joyful person that hasn't been through the ringer. And yet God was good even in the crazy. Joy is a choice. It's a mindset. And what's sad is I know people. You might know them too, that have so much to be grateful for in their life right now. I mean, honestly, they've got it made. They got healthy kids. They live a sweet life. They got a husband or wife that truly loves them. They live indoors. They have flush toilets. They have water in a spigot. They eat hot food. They have plenty of money. And yet they choose some kind of disappointment every day. Every day they're choosing some kind of focus on what they don't have. They focus on everything that's wrong, when so much is right in their life. Well, let me just tell you, if you are in Christ, you have the joy of the Lord available to you every day. Don't waste your life missing it. Don't waste a day missing the joy of the Lord. Don't miss a week missing the joy of the Lord. Don't miss months experiencing the joy of the Lord. It's available every day. You have something every single day in your life that God has done, and you can thank Him for it. And so here's what I want to do. For the rest of our time today, I'm going to try and go quick. I really apologize for how quick I'm about to talk. But this topic to me is just, it's one of the keys to truly living out your faith this side of heaven. It's one of the keys to this life actually being enjoyable. I want to give you a way to live a life of joy in Jesus' name, because when you live a life of joy in Jesus and not dependent on what's happening in your life. And so these are rhythms to experience the joy of Jesus on a daily basis. The first way to live with lasting joy is abide daily. It's building a joy pipeline. You can build a joy pipeline right into your heart. Abide simply means staying connected, like a branch to a vine. Right before Jesus said that verse a little earlier where he said, remain in him and his joy would be in us and our joy would be complete, he gives us this visual. John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, a branch doesn't produce fruit by trying harder, does it? You cut a branch off a tree, it just dies. But you keep a branch plugged in, it just naturally bears fruit because it's connected to the vine, the source of the nutrients that it needs to bear fruit. Joy works the same way. You cannot manufacture joy. In Christ, you receive it by staying deeply connected to Jesus. And let me just tell you, there is no source of joy available to a human being without being connected to Jesus. All you get is happiness. All you get is happenings that produce a little bit of maybe laughter, fun, and some good memories. That's all you get apart from Christ. But once you are in Jesus, you have access to true, eternal, powerful joy in your life. So let me ask you, what are you plugged into every day? What are you plugging into? Are you plugging into a source of joy, the source of joy every day of your life? Let me tell you a few things that if you plug into them will steal every bit of joy in your life. They all start with the word P, and then I'm going to give you three things that will lead to a life of joy. But I'll give you these first three because they're super, super powerful, and I will just tell you if you are plugged into any one of these three things, they're like hamburglers of joy. Like, you just will have no joy if you are plugged into any one of these. And the first one, I'm going to talk to you guys in here because this is destroying our young men. It's destroying our men. It's destroying our marriages, our relationships with people of the opposite sex. But it's pornography. If you are plugged into pornography in any way in your life, right this very moment, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, it is robbing you of joy. It is robbing you of the ability to see women the way that God intended you to see them, to treat them the way that God intended you to treat them. And it is robbing you from the ability to actually have joy. It was a joy robber. And if you're plugged into it, if that's your source, you will have no joy in your life. And why do I say that? Because I've lived it. It is a place of victory in my life because God is good and because of a lot of years of work. Second place, if you are plugged into politics, you will have no joy. Am I telling you the truth or what? Plug into politics and then watch the news all day long. You will be out of joy in no time. Or the third thing you plug into, starts with a P, is your pajon. Okay, it's a phone, but it doesn't sound the same as the other two. It's your phone. If all you're doing is this all day long, and you just get trapped in hours of scrolling, and I mean any scrolling on anything that's on your phone or on a website, and you're doing this for more than just a fleeting few minutes, and you're spending hours and hours and hours of just doing this, you can't help but compare your life to other people, and all you will think is how much you don't have. And you will be advertised to, told that you have no joy because you just need to buy this thing or have this thing or do what these other people do. You plug into pornography, you plug into politics, you plug into your phone, and I guarantee you, you will be robbed of joy in a heartbeat. But abiding daily is plugging into Jesus. How do you do that? Three ways, really quick. You plug in with presence. Plug in to his presence. You start your day with 10 minutes with God. God, thank you for breath. Fill me with your joy. You ask for the joy of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You want to have a chance at joy, a joy-filled day. You start with God's presence. You start in his word. You start listening to worship music. You start with prayer. Second P is perspective. Pursue a godly perspective on life. Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Joy comes through trust, replaces your fear with faith. When the voice in your head says, hey, don't get too happy, it's not going to last. Oh, just wait for the other shoe to drop. Abiding gives you the perspective of, you know what, no, God is good and he's got this. Things are going to be okay. And even if things might not be okay this side of heaven, a godly perspective says, you know what, Jesus is coming back. There will be a day that things are okay. And that's this. One of the greatest gifts that this leg has given to me is perspective. There will be a day I won't be living in this body. And there will be a day the body that I do have is whole. And it makes living my 70, 80 years on this planet doable. I can have joy because here's temporary. It's perspective. Even if all is lost, things aren't all lost. Because we know who wins the victory. We know who has victory at the end of the day. And we can trust in that. And then the last one is practice. Practice being joyful. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice when you feel like it and rejoice when you don't feel like it. Now listen to me. Sometimes you have to rejoice first and the feelings follow. Sometimes you have to worship even when you don't feel it, and the feelings follow. Worship is often a thermostat, not a thermometer. Worship can turn up the heat in your heart towards God. This last week, I was driving somewhere. I listen to talk radio most of the time, and I'm not joking. Physically, this is how I was driving. I was driving, I'm listening to talk radio, and you know what talk radio typically dives into? All politics. And as I'm driving, and I'm just like going more like this. And then I'm shaking my head, and I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of feel myself starting to nosedive, and I feel it. I'm like, oh, I don't like this feeling. So I look down, and I popped my radio onto Z88.3, like the Christian music in the area. I highly recommend it, not because the music is good. I'm just telling you, music's not all good, man. It's like some of it's really cheesy, okay? It's Christian music. They got the market on Velveeta. I'm telling you, Christian music. But it wasn't about that I liked the song. What's interesting is I went from literally driving like this, flip it over to Z88, and one of the lyrics was just saying, how good is my life because I found Jesus? That's just one of the lyrics. How good is my life because I've found Jesus? That's the lyric on the song. It was a terrible song, but that line just kind of hit my heart, and I started thinking about just how good my life has been because I found Jesus. How good my life has been because I've been following him. How many blessings are in my life, even though everything's not going great, but how good my life is because I found Jesus. And I thought, what would it have been like? What would my life be like if I wouldn't have? And I literally went from this in about 3 minutes to this. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm like nodding my head up and down, and I've got a smile on my face as I'm just rifling through the good because I found Jesus. That's available to you every day. You've got to practice being joyful. You want to be a joy-filled person? Plug into the source of joy on a daily basis. Build practices that aim you toward it. Second rhythm for a joy-filled life, celebrate aggressively. What does that mean? So you celebrate like this, man, let's go. I'm just kidding, not that, okay? It's not celebrating aggressively. It's just what gets celebrated gets replicated. Most of us, we under-celebrate God's work in our lives. We're quick, quick to critique. We're slow to praise. We're focused on problems over progress. All of that steals joy. I heard this quote this last week. I think this is so true about us. We tend to over-exaggerate yesterday's pain, underestimate today's blessing, and we overestimate tomorrow's problems. Does that resonate with you at all? You overestimate yesterday's pain, over-exaggerate yesterday's pain, you underestimate today's blessings, and you overestimate tomorrow's problems. We need to celebrate aggressively God's work in our lives. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A broken spirit saps a person's strength. The Bible's full of teachings on how to celebrate festivals, dances, meals. And God is just like saying, when you celebrate this, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to set this up. You're going to do it in this way. You're going to do it in this place. And it's like, God, we're just taught. We're saying, hey, you've got to celebrate because what gets celebrated gets remembered, and what gets remembered shapes your identity. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this was during a time for the Israelites when they were under oppression. They were rebuilding because everything had been laid waste. They had opposition coming all the time. And what was God's command to them? What did he tell them to do? What did Nehemiah tell them to do? Didn't tell them to be like, hey, guys, we got to toughen up. We got to do classes. We got to learn taekwondo. We got to learn how to fight. We got to have spear classes and bow classes. And we just got to get strong. We got to work out. That's not what the response was. God's command was, you need to celebrate. You need to throw a party. You need to kill all the fattened calves, all the best meat. You've got to throw a party and remember all that I've done for you. That was what God told Nehemiah to tell the people to do in the midst of trouble, in the midst of fighting, in the midst of what was coming at them, in the midst of opposition. Why? Because he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. For families to win, you need laughter. You need joy rhythms. Birthdays need to be celebrated. Vacations need to be taken. Small wins matter. Not just correcting the wrongs, but celebrating the rights. If kids only hear criticism, they live in shame. Celebrate what God is doing in them. They'll thrive. What gets celebrated gets replicated. If you've lost your laugh, it is not a personality quirk. It is a spiritual problem. Let me just raise the level here. If you've lost your laugh, there is something spiritual going on that is keeping you from experiencing joy, because a joyless Christian is a powerless Christian. A joy-filled Christian is a dangerous one. That's why the enemy wants you joyless. That's why God commands celebration, because joy fuels the fight. Winning families, they laugh loud, they celebrate small, they make memories intentionally. They take taco nights and they turn them into talent shows, right? They just find ways to laugh together. So let me give you some like practical tips for your home and just for your life. It's like you've got to celebrate spiritually. I'm getting a lot of notes today. Celebrate spiritually, play worship music during chores, make gratitude games at dinner time. Go, hey, share your high and your low and a God wow moment today. Like, where did God show up in your life? Celebrate relationally, plan laughter, board games, tickle fights, take stupid pictures and send them to the rest of your family. For my family, what ended up happening, and this started from one of my daughters when they were about 12 to 6. There's a 6-year gap between the four of them, and the other two are in the middle somewhere. But what started happening because of one of my daughters is we got to the end of a movie, and it might have been the movie Cars, one of the first Cars movies, we were watching it, and the end credits have a great song. And she just starts dancing around the living room, like just running around dancing. And pretty soon, the boys kind of jump in there. I think Garrett jumped in, and he starts doing stupid stuff, but it's funny. And then Travis gets in there, and then Savannah gets in there. And suddenly, we just all six of us dance until that song is over. We're laughing, jumping off the couch, just being dumb. But it was so joy-filled that that became a tradition every time we had movie night. Until the kids became like teenagers, they were too cool to dance with us. Plan it. Make it happen. Celebrate personally. Share testimonies. Remember when God paid that bill? Remember when our marriage was struggling, we went and God just kind of entered into the middle of it. We got on our knees, we invited Jesus, and God just stepped in and brought healing. Remember when grandma was sick and we prayed and God helped her get better? Celebration is a choice. Praise God aggressively. counters the world's complaints. Last one, here's the third rhythm for a joy-filled life. It's fight joyfully. Fight joyfully. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy isn't optional for a Christian. It is spiritual warfare. It is your weapon. It is your strength. It is your strategy. The enemy wants to steal it because it fuels perseverance. If he can take your joy, he can take your fight. So he'll do anything he can. He tempts you with cynicism. You know the kind of stuff that Satan whispers in your ear? It's always going to be this way. You're never going to get better. You're never going to get past this level. You know what? God's forgotten you. When's the last time God did anything for you? Probably never, even if you really look at it. And for you, those of you that are a little older, and I speak as somebody who's like 30 years old. No, so those of you that are a little bit older, one of the lies that Satan whispers in your ear is your best years are behind you. Lie straight from the pit of hell. Your best years are ahead of you because God is good. And until you're in the ground, he's not done with you. When I was recovering, back at home in bed 20 to 22 hours a day, I'd go to sleep. Need a lot of drugs to sleep because of the pain in my body, pain pills, tranquilizer, and an Ambien. Took to sleep. I'd wake up in the morning before I opened my eyes, no pain, like legit no pain. And I would lay in bed, and for just a few moments, I would hope it wasn't real. I'd hope it was a dream because I didn't feel any pain. Day after day after day, this would happen for months. And I would open my eyes, I would move my body, and all the pain would just come flooding back in, and it was just like, I got to live through another day. I got to get through another day. And I had a choice. And I remember this choice being so stark. I could choose for this to make me bitter, or I could choose for this to make me better. And I could feel the darkness down the bitter side. And I wanted it because it's like, this was so not right. This was so awful. This was so difficult. This was so painful. And bitterness just looked better at times. But with God's help over months, more often than not, I was able to choose better. I was able to lean into Jesus and just go, Jesus, I don't know why. This sucks royally. I don't know how I'm ever going to have joy, but I'm just going to trust you today. I'm just going to choose to trust you today. That's the beauty of knowing Jesus. That's why it's a fastball of a Christian. God can turn your tragedies into your testimonies. And only he can do that. I remember Melissa and I would go to God in prayer. We would go, God, please don't waste this. We're going through hell right now, but we trust that you're going to use it for good someday. Don't waste this moment. Use it, please, God. We would beg him to just please use this someday, even though we couldn't see it. And God has been so faithful to that. You can lean into Jesus, and he'll make you better. You can fight joyfully and just go, amen, I may not like this season, but I won't waste it. Because God will use it. And let me just say this. If the tomb is empty, your joy tank should never be empty. If the tomb is empty, your ability to have joy in the tank, even if it's just a little, it's always available. You can't follow Jesus and stay mad. Fighting joyfully means choosing forgiveness over bitterness, choosing celebration over criticism, choosing hope over despair. It means keeping short accounts with people. It means that you deal with stuff quickly. You don't let it build up so you're carrying this weight between you and somebody else. It means that you dwell on what's going right. In your prayer time, you're thankful. When you fight joyfully, you actually become more resilient. And you just need to know that when you choose joy daily, when you create joyful rhythms, and you carry joy into your relationships, how do you carry joy into your relationships? You be unoffendable. Be unoffendable. Laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously. Like, come on, you're an idiot. It's good. Laugh when you're an idiot. We're all idiots. Why are you trying to hide being an idiot? We all see it. Let's laugh at ourselves. I make stupid mistakes all the time. Luckily, I have people around me that will laugh at me and with me after they point it out. Because they're just like, hey, that was stupid. I'm like, okay, after we talk about it, you're right. Don't take yourself so seriously. Laugh a little bit. Laugh at yourself. Joy is a strength. It's not a luxury. It is a necessity. Joy is a strategy. Joy makes our homes places that our kids want to come back to. Joy is what makes faith in Jesus attractive. Makes people go, what's going on over here? Because this ain't normal. And they meet Jesus through joy. If we're going to be a church that helps as many of the 38,000 families in Horizon West Winter Garden win with Jesus, where marriages are healed, kids are rooted in faith, homes echo with laughter, not lectures, we have to be a people marked by joy. Because a joyless Christian isn't a miserable Christian, they're an ineffective one. You want to be ineffective for Christ? Be miserable. But a joy-filled Christian is unstoppable. And some of you, today is your day to step across the line of faith and choose Jesus for the first time. Would you pray with me? Would you close your eyes? Bow your head? If you're here and for the first time, you're just ready to step across the line of faith. Maybe you've come in here for a little while and you're ready to trust in Jesus. Or maybe you're here for the first time and you're just like, whatever this joy is, I'm interested. We need to know how you access that. The Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and you confess with your mouth that he raised from the dead, that you will be saved and you'll become a child of God plugged into the vine. If you're ready to do that for the first time, pray with me. You can make my words yours and just say something like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today I give my life to you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And today I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you. Help me as much as I understand it to live my life for you. And Father, I just want to pray, especially for those in here right now, that just joy seems so far off, seems unattainable. Lord, would you allow your presence to just fill that hole right now, right in this moment? Just allow your presence to start seeping joy right from the source. Let them know how loved, how cherished, how much they're worth to you. In your holy name, amen. We're going to take a moment here over the next few. We're going to sing two songs, and during the first one, we're going to receive communion. And communion is something for believers where Jesus was sitting with his disciples at the last night before he was arrested, beaten, and then crucified. And he gave them a way to remember, to celebrate what he was about to do. He took bread while they were at dinner and he broke it. And he said, hey, this bread represents my body. That's going to be broken for you. So when you eat this in the future, remember what I've done for you. And then he took the cup full of wine. And he just said, hey, this wine represents my blood. And when you drink this in the future, remember my blood that was spilled to pay for your sins. And Jesus, the disciples didn't know what was to come, but Jesus did. And he gave all of us a way to remember and celebrate what Jesus did for us. And so this is a joy-filled time. It's a time of contemplation. It's a time of really doing some inventory in your life, spending time with God. But it is also a moment of joy where we remember what's been done and that our worth was settled at the cross. And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to invite you, during this first song, walk up these steps and go down the sides, grab a piece of bread and a cup. And I would love for you to spend some time with God when you get back to your seat. You can stand, you can sit, whatever is more comfortable for you. Do some business with God, pray, share with him what's on your heart, ask for joy, just whatever's going on that moment. But remember what he did, and on your own, eat the bread. Remember his body broken for you. Be thankful and drink the juice. Be grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us and what that means for you. And then as soon as you're done with that, spend some time with God however you want. And then I want to invite you to stand up and worship for the rest of our time together. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So when you're ready, come on up and grab the elements and head back to your seat. And let's receive communion together.